We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. Thank you for tuning in. It's a privilege of Merit Assembly of God to bring you this broadcast, and we'd like to start off today by saying thank you to Jits Concrete that has done a wonderful job through the years of helping keep our church property looking good and functioning well, and so we truly thank them. They would do an excellent job for you. If you need their help, call Greg at 536-5804, 536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and that would just help us as we try and, you know, we try and be a blessing to all of the various businesses that are represented, and so it just helps all of us to know that people are listening and they're paying attention. And by the way, if you ever hear of something that you might need, you might be driving down the road and you don't have time to jot down the number, there's a couple of different options there. One, you could either call us at 454-4263 and ask us what the numbers are, or you could go online, WMIEFM.com 91.5, and check on the Listen On Demand feature, the podcast variety, and you could go and listen to the beginning of broadcast. And normally we mention all of our sponsors at least once a week, so if you listen to the beginning segments of four or five broadcasts, you should be able to find the number that you are looking for. But all of them are excellent at their skill, at their craft, and so we recommend them highly. So I don't know how your night of sleep was. Mine was absolutely wonderful. I thank God for that sleep. If you're like I am, and sometimes those nights of sleep are kind of fragmented, it really helps to get a good night of sleep. And so last night was one of those for me, and I am very thankful for it. So we're going to turn today to 2 Peter chapter 2. We have an exciting weekend that is coming up. We'll be going out and knocking on some doors this week and letting an entire neighborhood know, or an entire street anyway. It's a pretty long street, that we'll be coming and bringing them the goodies of Thanksgiving dinner the following Saturday. So we're really excited about that. We're doing it a little bit different this year than we have in years gone by, but it's going to be a good thing. So if you would pray for us, normally there's at least one or two that give their heart to Jesus through this ministry that we do every year. And if you feel like God lays it upon your heart to be a blessing to the community, you could certainly send that donation to Merit Assembly of God, mark Thanksgiving on it, and we will utilize those funds quickly and expeditiously, I promise you. Everything that comes in will go out. We will find people. We will find hungry people who need that blessing. And so that's coming up. And so I will tell you, you know, after being in the ministry for 30-some years, and I've helped people. Man, my first job was in Chicago. I brought home $86 a week, or $84 a week, I think it was. And even then, if somebody knocked on the door and they were hungry, we haven't ever given out money, but I would take them over, and I couldn't even afford to pay my bills, but I'd take them over and I'd buy them a hot dog at the little hot dog stand right across the street. And through the years, you see so many people who take advantage of that situation and the goodness of God's people. And every once in a while, you can just get to the point where you say, you know, I'm just a little jaded to this process because nobody seems to really appreciate what you do. But I tell you, once you have encountered someone who has a legitimate need and you reach out and bless them and help them with that need, and you see the gratitude in their heart and the transformation that they make to God, I tell you that that healing balm will heal all of the hurts of all of the other stuff, and it will renew your faith in God to transform a human life. And so that's what we look forward to this time of year, is seeing God change lives. So we have a little over a week. If you'd like to contribute to that fund, just mark Thanksgiving on it, or if you'd like to make a donation to the Refresh broadcast, mark Refresh on there. All funds that are designated go to those appropriate designated areas. So we're looking at God's deliverance out of 2 Peter chapter 2. We're not going to go back and review all of the other areas that we've talked about deliverance, but I like to remind you that the word deliver means to come in and sweep away as if with rushing water. And so that's what we're trying to do. God is looking for a bride that is without spot, without blemish. We'll talk about that probably more on tomorrow's broadcast. But let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 2, let's begin with verse number 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them. Verse number 12. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, enticing in unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. We'll stop the reading there. So we have been talking for a few days now about the way that these people that Peter warns about, these are people that would come in to the church and be more concerned about their will than God's will. And we talked in verse number 10 that they're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, even though angels would not dare to do so. And in Jude, it talks about that when Michael, the archangel, was contending with the devil over the body of Moses, that his response was, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you." So I want to guard the way that I speak. I want to speak highly of those in authority over me, because I'll tell you a lesson that I learned many years ago. We had a project that we were doing at the church, and we had a person, they'd come in and laid some floor tile and all sorts of stuff like that, and they had said, "I'm going to give you a really, really good rate," you know, because the church didn't have much money at that point in time or anything like that. And so my definition of a good rate was, you know, in the neighborhood of what I had made at that point in time in my job of selling shoes. And when the price, or, you know, when the work was done, they gave us the invoice, it was about double of what I was expecting. And I was like, wow. And so he and I, we had a discussion, and he ended up lowering a little bit, but he said, "You know, when I said I was giving you a good rate, I really meant that, because my normal rate that I charge is nearly double the rate that I charge you. And so I was praying, and I was ready to pay the original invoice. I was, because when I prayed, God spoke this. He said, if you begrudge that person the wage that I have equipped them to be able to earn, then I could never entrust you with that sort of wage yourself. And I said, God, I want to bless him. And so I was ready to write the check, and then he came back and he lowered a little bit. But at that point in time, there was a transformation in the way that I thought. And I realized that selling shoes all of those years was not the most financially lucrative way that I could have provided for my family, and I had skills to do some other things. And so I was like, man, I really wish that I had had a little bit more information. So if somebody is blessed financially to a greater degree than you are, I want to go against the conventional wisdom, and I want to encourage you to be thankful and rejoice with them that God has blessed them, because the God who blessed them to be able to earn that type of wage can also equip you to earn that type of wage. This last Sunday night, I preached out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it said, for it is Lord your God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so I've always quoted that scripture, but this last week I focused on the latter end of it, and that was this, that the reason that he wants to give you the ability to produce wealth, that means you've got to be invested in it. You've got to work at it with his wisdom and his strength and his might, is to establish his covenant. And I realized that when I'd come to the church nearly 23 years ago, and some people said, you know, there's just no money in this church. And I said, that's okay. God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider, and he will provide. That through the years, as God has blessed us financially, it has not just been to equip us for the work. It's not just so that we could do the work around the church, but it was to establish that he is a covenant-keeping God. Praise the Lord for that. And so I encourage you, don't be jealous if somebody makes more money than you. Bless them. Rejoice with them. See if there's something that they can teach you. But say, God, I want to rejoice with them, because I don't want to disqualify myself from being blessed in the future. Verse number 12 says, but these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand. And I believe that right there is a very important key as to why we hear so much negativity that comes, whether it's in the political realm or in the news realm or any other realm, marriages, you know, workplace, wherever you want to put it, it's this, that people speak about things that they don't understand. A lot of times there are people who have a fragment of information, but they do not have all of the information. And if you only have a fragment of the whole picture, then you are going to not make a righteous judgment. You are going to make an unrighteous judgment. So, you know, when Jesus was brought the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and the people were speaking, and they said, "This is what Moses told us to do," and they go on and they just begin to rail in their accusations. They had the woman. She'd been caught in the act. There was no disputing that. But what there was disputing was that there was supposed to be the guy there too. You cannot commit adultery by yourself. There has got to be someone that you are committing adultery with in order for there. So they were trying to instill an unrighteous verdict upon something that they did not understand. Probably one of the best pictures about this is that there were all sorts of horrible accusations made against political administrations in the past because they weren't disclosing all of the information. And so there were people who were accusing them of lying and all of this sort of stuff. And the reality was that there was more information than what the journalists had at their disposal. And so all of the time that they're speaking bad and saying, you know, you're a liar and all of this sort of stuff, and there was no defense being offered up, that what was actually taking place was, they said, you know, the administration's response was quite simply in silence saying, we have information at our disposal that you don't have at your disposal. We're not entitled, or we're not going to be giving you that information at this point in time because of the liabilities that it would create in us. And so we're okay. You just go ahead and you say the bad things about us that you want to say. But as for us, we are going to continue on as just letting you go on and rail and rail and rail. There are just a lot of things. I've got some things written down here. You know, when it comes to creation, people think of God just far too simply. They tend to think of God very much like a child in art class. They don't consider the complexity of creation, that no matter how far into the distance you look, you would be able to see that it's not chaos there, but there is actual order there. No matter how deep you look into the cellular level and beyond, and you can see the creativity of God. There is complexity in creation. There is diversity of creation. And yet there's people who think that God just began everything, you know, in a nice, simple variety. And so one of the things that I like to consider is I like to ask them, what about this particular type of artist here? What about this artist who creates this beautiful masterpiece, and in that work of art that was painted all during the same period of time, they can make things look new and they can make things look old, they can make things look dark, they can make things look light. And you can't necessarily tell that all of it was done at the same period of time. And so I like to say, you know what? God says that his ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And instead of trying to dumb God down to where I understand everything, I just need to embrace the fact that God is far superior, exponentially superior to my intellect and my creation, and I just need to trust that God has information that I don't have. There's a conversation I had with a person at one point in time, and they said, do you believe this scripture? And I said, yes. And they said, do you believe this scripture? And I said, yes. And they said, but those two scriptures are, they tend to present things that are opposite one another. And my response was quite simply this. I am not denying that I do not understand how both of those statements can be factually true. I do not have a grasp on that. I'm not saying that there's not an explanation out there that I could one day understand. But I understand this about God. That if God said this and he said this other thing, that it's impossible for God to lie. So both of those things are going to be true. And if I don't understand how he is going to merge those two things together, then I'm going to trust that he has technology and skill beyond that which I am able to understand at this point in time. You know, if you had said 40 years ago that people would be walking down the streets, their mouths would be moving, they would be focused on what they were hearing instead of what was going on around their environment, you would have thought that they were having a mental breakdown. Now, people do that all day long, and we never give any thought to it whatsoever because cell phone technology and mobile technology and Wi-Fi technology has enabled that to become the reality. But yet, because we didn't understand it a long time ago, we wouldn't necessarily understand it now. The complexity of creation, the diversity of creation, I believe it reveals the genius of God. I believe it reveals his all-surpassing wisdom. And I believe that he is a master artist. He is beyond any human artist that we could compare. And so when it comes to artistic expression, I mean, do we think that artistic expression was created in the heart of man? I don't. I believe that it was created in the heart of God. The reason that I say that is in Genesis, it says that when God spoke this into existence, he said, and it was good. And then when he created man, he said, it was very good. In other words, the first person who, or the first entity that ever expressed appreciation for a masterpiece was God. So I want to ask you today, have you ever stopped to ask this question? What am I missing? What do I not understand about this? Rather than just going ahead and just blasting people that you are in authority over you, have you ever stopped to ask, what don't I understand? Is it possible that they have more information about this process than I do, and I'm just, I just ask yourself that question. When I think about this, I think about the Pharisees. The Pharisees gave no consideration at all to the possibility that Jesus could be the Messiah. And the reason that they did that was when Nicodemus brought up something, they said, look in the scriptures for yourself. There is nothing, there's no prophet that has ever come out of Galilee. And we know where this man, came from. And so because they had that one fragment of information, they were ready to discount the miracles that were taking place right before their eyes. The fact that blind eyes were being opened and deaf ears were being opened and mute tongues were being opened and the lame were walking and the sick were being healed. There was miraculous abundance of food in a place where there wasn't supposed to be abundance of food. There was a boy who had died who was raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Water was turned into wine. There's all sorts of miracles that are taking place, and they gave it no consideration that he could be the Messiah, even though the people around them said, hey, you know, this is, I believe this is the Messiah. You know, Peter finally said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Pharisees were willing to discount it all because they said, we know where he comes from. He's not old enough. What they didn't know was they didn't know where he came from before the place that they knew where he came from. And they didn't know the place that he came from before that. They didn't realize that he had spent time in Egypt and had been called out of Egypt and was thus fulfilling another prophecy. They didn't realize that before Galilee he had been born in Bethlehem. They didn't realize that he was of the lineage of the house of David. It was the things that they didn't understand that caused them to speak in a negative manner, and it so poisoned them that they failed to realize the miraculous provision of God that they had longed for, said that they cried out for, and it was right there in front of them. He was right there. His presence, his visitation was right there, and yet their own limited understanding caused them not to be able to perceive it. And then they insisted on speaking out of their understanding rather than out of their faith in God. One of our board members at Merit Assembly of God, he is quoted Watchman Nee a number of times, and he says that Watchman Nee says that in coming days, you know, so that would be our time, that people would insist on speaking out of their soul more than out of their spirit. And so I want to ask you today, what do you speak out of? Do you speak out of your limited understanding, or do you speak out of your relationship with God? Deuteronomy chapter 8, it also says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The scripture says that there would be coming a time where there would be a famine, not of the word of God, but a famine of hearing the word of God. And so what we need is we need greater understanding. We need peace that passes understanding. We need grace that passes understanding. We need a relationship with God that speaks to us, not just on our soul level, but according to our spirit. In Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3, over and over we hear, let him who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So, the reality is, God wants us to understand. He wants us to understand. But we need to make sure that we guard our lips and guard our heart, because a lack of understanding can cause, we can actually poison our own heart and then begin, like these people in 2 Peter chapter 2, to speak evil of things that we do not understand. And the problem isn't that that God is toxic, or God's not toxic. God is wonderful. God is good. God is holy. But what happens is, if we insist on speaking about only the things we understand, we are going to end up with a very, very finite vocabulary, and it's going to be toxic, because God is looking to entice us into a pursuit of him and his wisdom and his understanding. The other night, we were taking care of some young boys, and we were on a journey. And the man that it was during our ladies' meeting, and so this board member and I, we were entertaining three young men, and they wanted to know everywhere we were going and everything we were doing, and we just kept saying, "Hey, trust us. By the time this night is all over, you are going to say, this was awesome." So we ended up taking them to their favorite restaurant. We took them miniature golfing, and all of the time they're just prying and saying, we got to know now. And said, just trust us. Don't disqualify yourself. At the end of the night, they said, wow, this was awesome. Could we do this again? Father, I just pray that you would help us to trust you with the journey. In Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.